Classes are scheduled to restart in February for New York's public colleges and universities, and when that happens, the union representing faculty and staff at those schools has some ideas on how to keep students and adults safe from COVID-19. And to discuss the 10 pages of guidelines from United University Professions, we're joined by the union's president, Fred Cole. So, Fred, are there any major changes you want to see for the spring semester which weren't in place for the fall?
I think the biggest change is that we believe it's absolutely necessary that there be as much testing as possible. The biggest flaw with SUNY's opening in the fall semester was the lack of testing. And there was really no systematic means of testing students as they arrived. And then to surveil the students to make sure there weren't outbreaks. And then we saw what happened at Oneonta. Almost immediately, there was a very severe outbreak. Fortunately, the incoming chancellor at the time, Dr. Malatris, put testing protocols in place that really followed our recommendations very closely. We were pleased to see that. And that kept the campuses in the SUNY system in relatively good shape through the course of the fall semester. What we have proposed for the spring is that all students be tested upon return, and then that there be a second round within 3 or 4 days to ensure that there are no false negatives. SUNY is moving in that direction. I think their intention is to ensure all students are tested before they arrive, and that's good. We think also it's imperative, and this was not mandated in the fall. It will be mandated in the spring, as we called for it, and that is that masks be a mandatory part of life on campuses, whether people are 6 feet apart or not. So those were really the two, I think, the two most crucial aspects of what was not in place for the fall and will be in place for the spring. Now, the difference for this spring semester is that the situation in New York with respect to COVID is very different. Cases are rising. The numbers are getting pretty severe. We didn't have anything like that going on in August or September in New York State. So the situation, of course, is going to be more serious. And so we have concerns, obviously, and we're communicating with the chancellor and his staff about the opening, the plans for opening, with an eye towards what the caseload will be given the circumstances. So we're looking forward to working, again, very closely with the chancellor. We think we're in a good place with regard to the testing, mask wearing, surveillance testing. But with rising cases, I know that the chancellor is concerned, and so are we, about this upcoming spring semester. And that's why the later than normal opening, I think, is a very good thing.
What sort of threshold do you want to see used for determining whether it's safe to maintain in-person learning?
That's a great question, Dave. I think that what was done in the fall was the 5% or 100 cases over a 2-week period. And excuse me, there was at times kind of a moving target. There was some uncertainty about it. But I think for the spring semester, those conversations still have to be had, because I think, you know, I'm not speaking for the chancellor. I wouldn't do that. But I think the circumstances, as I said, are very different. And so the threshold may reflect testing results on campuses, because they're going to be doing all that testing. But the second thing also, I know what New York State is doing is tracking what's happening in terms of hospital patient numbers, availability of ICU units, and so forth. So those are conversations that are still to be had. As of now, my information is that the plan is to proceed as it was in the fall, with the 100 number as being the trigger number for a shutdown. But I think those conversations are still going to take place.
Your report makes the case for improving air filtration on campus buildings and other related upgrades. Is it possible that there's enough time to make those happen prior to that February return, or is this something where it doesn't look like we're going to have time to get all that kind of stuff done?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be extremely difficult to do that, because it would be a major infrastructure project For some campuses, the buildings were very old. The systems would be in need of a major upgrade. So we have had conversations with SUNY and with the chancellor about working strenuously with campuses so that classes and meeting places are utilized in those buildings where the filtration systems are at the most advanced level and therefore provide the cleanest air possible, and that there is less of a usage of those buildings where the upgrade cannot take place. We're also recommending, and this is a short-term fix, and that is the portable units that can be utilized to clear the air within buildings where they can't do the upgrade in the amount of time available and also with the resources. It's going to be a real difficulty, and that's why we look at a different set of avenues to get to the same place, which is a safe work environment. One is mask wearing. The other is aggressive use of the telecommuting agreement that has just been extended through April 2nd. That is a way of lowering the density of the number of people on campus. Our members have been working from home diligently to ensure that students are educated and their services are taken care of. And so I think that that is another avenue to get at a safe workplace is to keep the density of the population down, whether it be students or employees. And that way you keep communities healthy. It's very different than last spring, where we had obviously the big outbreak, but it was centralized in New York City and Long Island and Westchester County and so forth. Now we're facing a situation where it's across the state. And so I think utilizing the telecommuting agreement, mandatory mask wearing, that's a way of addressing what, you know, the infrastructure challenge that is not achievable by the time the start of the spring semester.
How do you feel about the response you've gotten from SUNY administration officials? Do you feel like they're taking your concerns seriously? Are there any areas where you feel like they need to do more?
I think the situation really is night and day. Between what happened, I would say early last summer and through the fall semester. We had a very difficult time getting our message through to SUNY about the really serious situation regarding health and safety on campuses that would be created without adequate testing, surveillance testing, and mask wearing and so forth at the start of the fall semester. I think that the transition with the departure of the previous chancellor and then really a vacuum at the top leadership position within SUNY did not help. It was very difficult to get through to SUNY and then to campuses about the dire circumstances that could arise. But that really changed so markedly with the arrival of Jim Allotris because of his work with the governor on the COVID outbreak in the spring. He was really tuned in to how serious the situation was. And we communicate throughout the fall semester, we communicated almost daily on issues that arose with regard to health and safety. He was taking our concerns very seriously and right from the start. And that was a very good step because otherwise we might have had a very bad situation with campuses closing all over the system. And we just could not have that and endanger the health and well-being of the communities we live in.
So as a college professor, what grade would you give Chancellor Malatris for his first semester in office?
On the issue of health and safety, certainly, which is, you know, the areas where we have worked the closest, I would give him an A-. I'm a tough grader, so I wouldn't give him an A. There's always room for improvement, as I would tell even my best students.
Our guest has been Fred Cole. He is the president of the union representing faculty and staff at New York's public colleges and universities. Fred, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you for having me on.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.